Good morning and welcome. We're glad that you could be with us at the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. If you are visiting, let me do some introductions. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I will be leading worship today. Becky Stamm is our liturgist this morning. Earl Linhart is directing the choir, and Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ for us. Heather is not feeling well today, so Kathy Gowan will be doing the Especially for Children. And our candlelighters this morning are the Borth family. We're glad to have you all with us. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card that are in the pews and put it in one of the offering plates that are located at the back of the sanctuary. If you're visiting with us online, I invite you to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if you want to know more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. I have a few announcements to share this morning. First of all, the flowers this morning are given by Mike and Karen Hogarth in honor of their fathers, Clarence Cook and Robert Hogarth, and we thank them for that. Westerville Habitat Partnership Christmas concert was held last Friday. And our Valerie Adams and Lynn Meyer represented our church, and their music was wonderful. You can still watch the concert. You can get a link to it from the Westerville Habitat Partnership website, or you can go to the Church of Messiah website where the concert was held, and you can find it. And it is a wonderful concert, and it's, of course, a fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity. And so if you would like to donate to Habitat for Humanity, you can do it through the website, or you can leave a check in our offering plate. Just mark it to Habitat, and we'll know. We'll make sure it gets there. We have our own production coming today. The First Presbyterian Christmas pageant will be in a video format this year, and it will be posted on our Facebook page and with a link on our website at 6 p.m. This evening. It features children of our church presenting the Christmas story, and having seen it, I will tell you now, it should not be missed. Many thanks to the Christian Ed Committee and to Heather for her work in putting this video together. On Tuesday, December 21st, we will hold our longest night service. This service is directed to those, towards those who find this holiday time especially difficult because of grief or sorrow or worry or any other thing that weighs heavy upon you this season. The longest night service is a chance to acknowledge that in the midst of seeing everyone else seeming to celebrate. The service will be held in person and be broadcast online, so you can attend either way. If you would like to donate a poinsettia for our sanctuary for Christmas Eve, you can do so by using the form in the bulletin this morning. There's also one in the Advocate newsletter sent out last week. The deadline for submitting those donations is this coming Wednesday, the 15th. You will note also in your bulletin here, there's a brochure about the Christmas Joy Offering. We will be formally receiving the Christmas Joy Offering next Sunday, but we thought we'd let you know, and certainly if you're going to be out of town, you could leave a donation to the Christmas Joy Offering there. The Joy Offering is one of the four offerings of our national denomination, and you can read about it on the insert there. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me with a call to worship. Give thanks to the one who lives. Declare God's deeds among the nations. The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Shout aloud, for great in the midst is the Holy One of Israel. With joy, come into the presence of our Savior. God is our deliverer. We will be confident and unafraid. Let us worship God.
Words of the prophet Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes wheat is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. Isaiah 61:10-11.
The season of Advent continues. 4,000 years of waiting for the Messiah is commemorated by the lighting of four candles. We join with a hopeful throng the lighting of the Advent candles, symbols of our faith and signs of God's love. The first candles symbolize the hope we have in Christ, and the second candle reminded us that peace will come through the birth of a child. Today we light the third candle, the candle of joy. In the lighting of this candle, we are reminded of the great joy and celebration that awaits us with the coming of our Lord.
Let us pray. Wonderful God, grant us the full measure of your joy as we light this, the third candle of the Advent season. Amen.
To all of our friends out there. We miss seeing you so much at church, and I hope that very soon we'll be able to see you back here at church. This morning, I brought something special with me. I brought some nativity sets, and I don't know how well you can see them on the video, but the nativity sets are a symbol of the Christmas season, and they're one of my favorite parts of the Christmas season. I have a big collection of these at home, and many of them have come from Global Gifts, which is something we used to have here at church before COVID, where we got there were people that came and they brought things that were made from all around the world, and there were crafts that were made, and then each year I would get a different nativity set from a different place in the world. And for instance, this one over here is one of my favorites. It comes from the Congo, and I'm gonna hold one of these up so you can see. So this is one of the wise men, and it's made out of reeds. And I love it because it's so unique and so special. Or this one right here is just Mary and Joseph and the baby, again, made out of some reeds. And that one, I believe that one came from Jerusalem, if I remember correctly. And this one is one of my favorites because Mary and Joseph and all the characters in the story are all little puppets. And this one is from Colombia. And this one is one of my very favorites because this came from Pastor Mark's sister, gave it to me years ago. And all of the characters are made out of wood, and then they're painted, because I told her, I said, I want a nativity set that our kids, and now our grandson, can play with that won't get broken, because I wanted them to be able to play with them to tell the story of Christmas. And what's special to me about my nativity sets is that every one is different. Each one is unique, and we have one over there in the corner that's also very unique that was given to our church years ago by somebody named Linda Bixby. And I love that one, too, because it's such a beautiful reminder of the Christmas story. But what's special about the Nativity sets is each one is unique, and each one comes from a different person and from a different place in the world. And it reminds us that the Christmas story is being told all around the world right now. It's being told here in our country. It's being told in other countries. And it reminds us that the love that God sent to us at Christmas time is for everybody. It's for people here, and it's for people all around the world. And so tonight, many of you are sharing the Christmas story with us also. This would be the Sunday usually when we would have the pageant here at church, but because of COVID, we want to be safe. And so instead, Reverend Heather asked people to send videos to her. And tonight, that's going to go live on our website. And I'm going to tell you, I got to see a sneak peek with Pastor Mark, and it is wonderful. So many of you did such a great job of telling us the Christmas story. And tonight, I invite everybody to watch that, and I thank all of the young people who were part of retelling the story for us and reminding us of the very important gift that was given to each of us years and years ago on that very special Christmas day. Let's say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the special gift that was given to us in this special Advent season. We remember that gift, and today we are especially thankful for all the young people who shared the Christmas story with us once again. And together we say, Amen.
Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare.
Scripture this morning comes from Zephaniah chapter 3 verses 14 to 20. When I received this scripture on Tuesday, I think, in an email from Pastor Mark, I worked on pronouncing Zephaniah because, to my knowledge, I don't remember hearing of Zephaniah. I probably have, but it wasn't top on my list. And then I looked up Zephaniah, and I discovered that Zephaniah was a minor prophet, and according to Google, also known as the happy prophet, which is a rare and wonderful thing. And then I read the passage, and I discovered something that I want you to listen for, and it was quite fun to do this research. The first part is a song of joy, in which Zephaniah is telling the people of Israel what God told him to tell them. And the second part, and let me note that in one translation that I saw, this first part, verses 14 through 17, were in a set of quotation marks, and the close quotation at the end of seven, well, actually in the middle, but and then the next one, a new set of quotation marks telling us a different speaker is happening. The second part is, I will do this and I will do that. This is God speaking to Zephaniah, to us. Please listen for the word of God. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The Lord of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with your oppressors at that time. and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. And the second passage from the New Testament from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, continue the same theme, and these are words that are a passage that I think are very familiar to most of us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Becky. And I had not heard that before, that he was the happy prophet, but I won't argue with it. Let us take a moment and pray. Lord God, these words of Scripture are your gift to us as we open them and reflect upon them this morning. May your Spirit guide all of our thoughts and all of my words. Amen. Author Tracy Letts wrote this line in one of his plays. It went, "Thank God we can't know the future or we'd never get out of bed." And that rather pessimistic line was spoken by an unhappy older woman to her adult daughter in the Tony Award-winning play, Osage County. The play, which depicts a dysfunctional family reunion, in many ways reflects the larger dysfunctions of our times, in which that line about the hopelessness of the future seems awfully real to many. And so I thank God that we have the prophet Zephaniah, who knows something about the future because he knows God's future. During these weeks of Advent, I have been focusing on the messages of the prophets, Isaiah, Malachi, and this week, Zephaniah. Why? Well, because the prophet is as much the voice of Advent as are the writers of the Gospels. As Presbyterian Pastor Deborah Block writes, prophets say what no one wants to hear, what no one wants to believe. Prophets point in the direction no one wants to look. They hear God when everyone else has concluded God is silent. They see God where nobody else would guess God is present. They feel God. Prophets feel God's compassion for us, God's anger with us, God's joy in us. They dream God's dreams and utter wake-up calls. They hope God's hopes and announce a new future. And Zephaniah was just this sort of prophet. And Zephaniah is hoping God's hopes as he announces a new future for the people of Israel. Zephaniah lived at a time of great unrest in the nation of Israel. The nation was at the mercy of the great superpowers of the day, Assyria and Babylon and Egypt. And the nation was forced to pay tribute to these various countries at various times in order to keep its semblance of independence. It was a pawn and suffered as such. What is more, the leadership of Israel was corrupt and abused the poor particularly, which at that time was most of the people, as they tried to eke out a living under those difficult circumstances. first 2.5 chapters of the book of Zephaniah call for the people to repent and realign themselves with God. I'm not sure that's the happy part. But then quite suddenly, in the middle of chapter 3, Zephaniah changes his tune and he speaks glowingly of God's bright future for the little nation of Israel. And then in verse 16, Zephaniah utters these words that will echo across the Advent season. Do not fear. Do not fear, he says. It is these words that the angel speaks to Mary when she learns that she is going to be a mother. It is these words that come to Joseph in a dream so that he will not divorce Mary, but take Mary as his wife. It is these words the angels declare to the shepherds on the night when Jesus was born. Do not fear, the prophet says, and these words are repeated in the Advent stories. Do not fear, God is present with you. These are the words of the Advent season, and they may be the most important words of the Advent season, and we seem to have so much that we fear, don't we? We have the constant fear of COVID amplified by the emergence of yet another variant. We have economic fears with inflation and, they tell me, even stagflation knocking at our doorsteps. We have the reoccurring fears of natural disasters which became all too real to us this weekend. We have the political fears as we watch the divisions in our country get even deeper. And then there are all the personal fears that one has concerning jobs or schools or relationships, even life and death. In 2020, the United Nations conducted a worldwide survey to mark its 75th anniversary. People from all walks of life, from all the corners of the globe, were encouraged to share their hopes and their fears of the future. More than 1 million people participated in the survey, and among the many findings of the survey was that the people of North America and Europe were the most fearful in the world and the least hopeful about the future. What the survey revealed was that people in developing countries were much more optimistic about the future than those in the developed countries. People in Southern Asia, Central Asia, and Sub-Saharan Africa, places of great poverty and great social challenges, tended to be more hopeful than those living in Europe or North America. I read about that and I wondered, is it merely coincidence that in many of those regions, the Christian church is growing rapidly? Is there something that these people have that we don't, or maybe we've lost? Maybe it reveals that we are stuck in our fears. Maybe our fears are more deep-seated than just worries about the economy or diseases. Maybe our fears reach down to our very souls. Maybe we fear that God is not really in our midst. Maybe we fear that our enemies, the enemies of good, are winning and we are losing. Maybe we fear that we are insignificant and we don't really matter. Maybe we fear that our foibles and our shames and our sins will be discovered and we will be shown to be less than the people we present to be. Maybe we even fear that God will really keep his promises and turn the world upside down and our personal quest for safety and security will be upended as well, upended by God's new heaven and new earth. Maybe we want the world to change, and yet we really don't want the world to change. And so we're afraid. But then comes Zephaniah with these words of hope that begin with, "Do not fear." It is a soothing message, a pastoral message, a message that reassures, it acknowledges our current state. Do not fear, for God is promising joy. For God is in your midst. God's presence with the people means they can live without fear. But it does more than that. It animates the people. For Zephaniah says, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak." Zephaniah tells the people that God frees and strengthens people from the iron grip of fear by being present among them so that their hands will not grow weak. John Calvin interpreted the prophet's words this way. And this is what we also know by experience, that when fear prevails in our hearts, we are, as it were, lifeless, so that we cannot do anything. But when hope animates us, there is a vigor in the whole body, so that alacrity appears everywhere. God with us releases us from the paralysis of fear, invigorating us to work for the good. Zephaniah gives the people a vision of hope, a reason to get out of bed in the morning. Zephaniah and the other prophets walk us into Advent with the promises of hope. They declare in great poetic words that God's presence has arrived, and when we realize this, we are healed, we are enlivened, we are moved. Zephaniah encourages and challenges us to lean into the possibilities he sees in a better future, the possibilities that God then announces to the prophet and to the people. By dwelling among us, God makes real the promised future of peace and joy that our hope imagines. Our reading from Philippians picks up on this theme of God's presence and the joy that comes with it. When Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." You hear those words, "The Lord is near." And it is a needed reminder for all of us at this Advent season. The Lord is near. Christian counselor Carrie Corley wrote recently, "There is a sign in our guest bath which reads, 'Wash your hands and say your prayers, because Jesus and germs are everywhere.'" You know, that's going to be the only line you remember from the sermon, isn't it? He writes, "I loved it before the pandemic, and I love it even more now. It is a reminder to me that I washed my hands before it was cool, and that God was in control even before I ever heard of COVID-19. We certainly know a lot about germs these days. And now maybe we can know a lot about God as well. Amen. please be seated. Let us now join in the prayers of the people. Please join with me. God of the Advent season, we wait with hope and anticipation for the coming of our Lord. And as we wait, we ask for peace and mercy for ourselves and for our world. We pray for your church that during this time of Advent, we will help everyone to prepare spiritually for the coming of our Savior.
Lord, hear.
We pray for the nations of the world, particularly those who are suffering from war, economic recession, or political turmoil, that all may experience the peace and happiness of the coming season. We pray for those who may find it hard to prepare a way for the Lord in their lives this Advent season, that they may be given the gifts of reassurance, knowledge, and discernment.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are grieving the death of loved ones this holiday season, that they may find comfort in your presence and strength in your love. We pray for all those requests that were read this morning. Hear us now as we lift up our silent prayers that are on our hearts this day. Merciful God, hear our prayers for ourselves, for our neighbors, and for our world, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain through Jesus Christ, your Son. And let us now join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us please stand. Reminder that you can still watch the Habitat concert online, and that at 6 p.m. this evening you can watch our children's Christmas pageant as they retell the Christmas story. And when you do go from this place, know that the Spirit of God goes with you and welcomes you and guides you each and every day. Amen.